I'd like to thank you for taking some time to seek the good Lord with us today and continue our study in the book of Acts, seeking this life in the Spirit. All the COVID restrictions have went away, and so we're meeting out at Kalita at 9:30. If you'd like to come out and join us for worship and fellowship, you're more than welcome. This message is designed for June 27th of 2021. My Bible subtitled it, Paul Kept in Custody. And we will be covering Acts chapter 24, verses 22 to 27. When I began looking at it, I came up with a subtitle that reads like, Felix's Procrastination, Paul's No Compromise. We'll deal with Felix and his procrastination and Paul with his unwilling to compromise. Point number one, Felix, empty promise. Point number two, Paul's presentation of the gospel. And point number three, Felix's procrastination. So I got to play with my alliteration game, and we have promise, presentation, and procrastination as the heart of our outline. I wonder when Felix will give the order for the centurion to keep Paul in confinement. I wonder if that centurion was Peter's good friend and brother in Christ. Peter had been there previously and introduced the Gentiles to the gospel, so we know there is a believing centurion there. Wouldn't it be fun if that's the man God put in charge of Paul for this two-year stint in prison? I wonder how many people like Felix put off Christ until it's too late. Wonder how many do that. What do you think? I have an illustration that I read from the American Revolutionary War about a tragedy that can result from procrastination. It's reported that Colonel Rye, the commander of the British troops in Trenton, New Jersey, was playing cards when a courier brought an urgent message stating that George Washington was crossing the Delaware River. He put the letter in his pocket and didn't bother to read it until the game was finished. Then, realizing the seriousness of the situation, he hurried and tried to rally his men to meet the coming attack. But his procrastination was his undoing. He and many of his men were killed, and the rest of the regiment were captured. Only a few minutes' delay cost him his life, his honor, and the liberty of his soldiers. We see from Earth's history that it is strewn with wrecks of half-finished plans and unexpected, unexecuted resolutions. Tomorrow is the excuse of lazy and refused refuge of the incompetent. The end. Struggled with reading the end of that a little bit. So, we're going to use the NIV Bible today and read Acts chapter 24, verses 22 to 27. It goes like this. Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lystras the commander comes, he said, I will decide your case. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but gave him some freedom and permitted his friends to take care of his needs. Several days later, Felix came with his wife, Dorstra, who was a Jew. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about his faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness and self-control, the judgment to come, Felix began to be afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent him for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Pontius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant favor to the Jews, he left Paul in the prison. That's the end of our scripture for today. So our outline, Felix's procrastination, Paul's no compromise. Point number one, Felix's empty promise. I wonder, do you think WikiLeaks ever intended to judge Paul's case? Do you think he ever intended to do that? Or do you think he just was going to put it off till he is out from under the job? Luke gives no information about Lystras actually coming or if he was even sent for. We don't know. But what we do know is that Paul will be an accessory in prison for 2 years. The Message translation of Acts 24:22, Felix shilly-shallied. He knew far more about the way than he let on and could have settled the case then and there. But uncertain of his best move politically, he played for time. When Captain Lystras comes down, I will decide your case. That's the end. Shilly Sally. A on your outline. Felix had trouble making decisions, and your T word is trouble. But sooner or later, he's going to have to do something with Paul. More importantly, Felix will need to do something with the gospel that Paul presents to him. Billy Graham wrote this: indecision itself is a choice. Not to decide is to decide not to. If you had a flight to Toronto tonight, and you can't decide whether to go or not, so you wait. If you wait long enough past the departure time, the choice will be made for you. The plane will go as scheduled. Time decides. If you will not make the decision, then time will make it for you. And time always decides against you. That's the end of Billy Graham quote. And he's saying that if you don't make a decision, that is making a decision. And if you wait too long, time will make the decision for you, like in the case here of Felix. So, B on your outline, Felix was afraid. Felix was afraid, and your blank is afraid. Here Felix was afraid of coming judgment on the holy righteousness of God. Last week, he was afraid of the Jewish leaders' response to what he did. This week, he's afraid of the holiness and righteousness of God. We can in fear all day long. Felix can live in fear all day long. Or we can come to Christ for his peace. We can, like Felix, live in fear all day long. Or we can come to Christ and receive his peace, his rest. It's your call. Point number two on our outline, Paul's presentation of the gospel. The Holy Spirit gives Paul time to share Christ and the gospel with Felix. The NIV Reader's Version of Acts 24:24 goes like this. Several days later, Felix came with his wife, Dorstra. She was a Jew. Felix sent for Paul and listened to him speak about his faith in Christ. That's the end. Now, Dorstra was the daughter of Herod Agrippa I. She was 6 years old when her father died. And she was only 14 years old when she married Felix and is only 19 years old at this time. She was Felix's third wife. The historian Josephus said of her, she did indeed exceed all other women in beauty. So this young wife has been married twice by the time she's 19 and is one of the most beautiful women in all of Israel. Paul gets to share the gospel with the most powerful man in the country and the most beautiful woman in the country. A on your outline, the condition of one's salvation. The condition of one's salvation. Faith in Christ. That is the gospel. One's fatal sin is unbelief, not believing in Jesus Christ. In the NIV Reader's Version of John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, some people did accept Jesus. They believed in his name. He gave them the right to become children of God. That's the end. D.L. Moody said, God has put a matter of salvation in such a way that the whole world could lay hold of it. All men can believe. A lame man might not be able to visit the sick, but he can believe. A blind man, because of his infirmity, cannot do many things, but he can believe. A deaf man can believe. A dying man can believe. God has put salvation so simply that young and old, wise and foolish, rich and poor, can all believe if they will. That's the end of my Mr. Moody's quote. A.G. Gordon talked about a fellow passenger on a train. The man believed that he could get to heaven by his good works. Pointing to the conductor who was making his way through the coach, Gordon asked his new friend, Did you notice how carefully he always examines the tickets, but takes no pains whatsoever to inspect the passenger? You see, the passenger and the ticket are accepted together. If the passenger does not have a ticket, or has the wrong one, he will be asked to get off the train, no matter how honest or good he might appear to be. Just as the ticket stands for the man, faith stands for you. The end. Did you see that? God is paying attention to the faith you put in Jesus Christ. That's your ticket to ride, not your good works. Christ has already paid for your ticket. He has already offered you a trip for all eternity into God's presence. The question is, have you received his offer? Have you taken his ticket? Did you believe? Or are you still trying to achieve God's righteousness on your own and on your own merits? B on your outline, the second C word, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Conviction is your blank. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. Before one can be saved, one must first understand that they're lost. In the New NIV Reader's Version of Romans 3:10, Paul writes, It is written, No one is righteous with God. No, not one at all. No one understands. No one trusts in God. And all of them have turned away. They have become worthless. No one does anything good. No one at all. That's the end. In Ecclesiastes 7:20, there is anyone on earth who does only what is right and never sins. That's the end of my scriptural points of this truth. So, number one, one's general need. First, one's general need, and your blank is general. See, the problem is God's standard is perfection, and our sinful nature and sin-filled lives are a problem because one would have to live perfect to get to heaven by their good works. That's his standard, absolutely perfect, not pretty good. The NIV Reader's Version of Matthew 5:48, Jesus said this, Be perfect, therefore, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. The end. Jesus is making the case that you have to be perfect if you're going to try to get to his Father by works. Isaiah's prayer in Isaiah 64, 6-9 could easily be one we need to pray today. Here's how it goes. I chose the NIV Reader's Version of Isaiah 64, 6-9. All of us have become like someone who is unclean. All of our good deeds we do are like polluted rags to you, Lord. All of us are like leaves that have dried up. Our sins have swept us away like the wind. No one prays to you, Lord. No one asks for your help, sir. You have let us waste away because we have sinned so much, Lord. You are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. Your hands made all of us. Don't be angry with us, Lord. Don't remember our sins anymore, sir. Please show us your favor. The end. Do you see how Isaiah's prayer could very well fit in the day that we live in now, and the times and the needs we have? Second on your outline, one's personal need. So first you have a general need, that's sin and God's perfection. Now you have a personal need. Personal is your blank. All of us have personal problems. Bill Gillum would call them flesh patterns or highways. Felix had a personal need for self-control. He had literal or no self-control. Felix also had a big problem with lust. Several of the commentaries I read wrote about his problem with lusting and some of the things that he did. See on our outline, one's condemnation. So your next C word is condemnation. Paul makes it crystal clear that there is judgment to come. The NIV Reader's Version of Hebrews 9:24-29 says this: people have to die once. After that, God will judge them. In the same way, Christ was offered up once. He took away the sins of many people. He also will come a second time. At that time, he will not suffer for sin. Instead, he will come to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. The end. Will you be the one waiting for him? Do you live your life like you're looking for him? Do you live ready? If he came today, would you have no regrets? Would he find you seeking him, loving him, loving on others, and functioning in the wonder of his resurrection life? Or, like many of Jesus' proverbs, will you be the one that's asleep or the one that has wandered away? So, Felix procrastination, Paul's no compromise. Point one was Felix's empty promise. Point two, Paul's presentation of the gospel. And lastly, point three, Felix's procrastination. Those were your three P words. A on your outline. First of all, Felix's reaction. Your blank is reaction. Felix was afraid. That was his reaction here. It is a wonderful thing when a person's heart is stirred and comes under the conviction of sin and is bothered by their sin. That's good. Felix was afraid. Paul was not. This could have been a great time for Paul to compromise just a little bit and get out of the mess he was in. It's clear by the scripture, if Paul would have offered Felix a bribe, he could have probably walked away. Or if he would have watered down the gospel a little bit, like so many people do in our day, and not present the clear biblical truth, Paul could have walked away, but he didn't. If Paul would have just backed off a little bit, he could have been freed. I mean, he could have just watered it down a little bit. Water the gospel a little. Paul did not do this. Instead of backing off, he pushed harder about self-control, about God's righteousness, and God's judgment. When one looks at it from this angle, it's clear Paul was not trying to get out of prison, though a compromise or a bribe, if he did, he spoke the truth to Felix and Felix's young wife. So it's clear Paul was not trying to get out of prison, but he spoke the truth to this ruler and his beautiful wife. Paul even confronted the sin in their lives. You see, Felix was later afraid and told Paul to be quiet and sent him away. History tells us that Felix had taken Dystra away from her first husband, that Felix was driven by sexual lust, and Paul knew that. So, she married Felix when she was 14 years old, but she had already been married to another man when Felix seduced her and took her away from that husband. Instead of having a curiosity satisfied, Felix and Dystra were convicted of their sin. This put Paul in prison for 2 years. B. Felix's rejection. Felix's rejection. Rejection, your R word for the second blank. How easy it is for one's heart to be hardened. The time is now for you to respond to the gospel, for all of us to respond to the gospel in some way. Felix was hoping for a bribe, but For Paul, there was no compromise. C. Last we see Felix's regression. So your third R word is regression. Felix wanted to do the Jews a favor and kept Paul in prison. Felix went from feeling a need for salvation to allowing his greed for money to take over his life. We never stay neutral. We're never neutral. If we don't come to Christ, and we invite the devil to have a place in our heart. When the Holy Spirit speaks, if you don't respond, the devil and his demons will come in right behind and take that place in your heart. So choose to respond to Christ. Guard your heart well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the time to sit down and look at the book of Acts and to wonder in awe about this time in Paul's life, Felix's life, and Dirstra's life. That poor girl looks like some of the women we see in the national news, young and in trouble. Father, we thank you so much for your loving kindness. We thank you so much for the goodness of your gospel. We thank you so much for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. We put all our faith and trust in him and pray in his sweet name. Amen. You are